kitchen. Willie's putting up the tile on Tuesday, the 3rd of March, 1970. This is the beginning of Channel 1 Over. Beginning of Channel 1 Over. All of Channel 1 Right. Now, this is taken from the little black half-mil tape. This beginning of Channel 1 Over, almost ready to sit down to lunch.
I learned mechanic, and I got my tail tore up. The old car wasn't running good, having trouble with it, you know. Seemed like all the time. And he'd set it up. Can't reach no more of them. Slide that down for me, please.
Well, your reaching capacity is limited.
It sure is.
You just don't trust yourself out way out on the corner.
You gotta get under this and you'll tear up this stuff.
You ought to see me painting the eaves of the house up there. Well, the ladder played out, you know, and I had to stand on that top rung and hold on to a nail and tiptoe.
That was rough.
And take the brush by the, my little fingers, you know, the end of my fingers like that.
Oh, look at that, what you've done. Look what you've done. And you did all that.
Yeah.
Talking
about balance. Now that's
out.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I tore that old Marley down. Tore that motor. And I never will forget. I ordered some rings from Montgomery Ward. See, now I'm gonna have to learn to set this ladder. You know what I mean? Before I get up here, I got to be able to look up there and see. On the first ring.
Well, aren't you going to... Oh, are you going to work in the ladder now?
Yes.
You're not going to work from that?
Well, I haven't got no platform there to work from.
I believe you'll do better with a ladder.
Dad told my brother. He went down South Florida. He was about granddaddy, mama's daddy. And while he was gone, I tore his old car down.
Yes?
Yeah, I tore it up, tore the motor out. I mean, you know, I didn't run it, tear it up. I tore it up, taking it apart to fix it. I was going to rebuild it.
Your daddy?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, you didn't have much respect for him, did you?
No, it was a car. I tore the old car. It wasn't him. It was the old car I tore up. And of course, he come back and he got pretty much mad about that thing. He got pretty much mad.
Yeah, how about it?
And so I ordered some rings from Montgomery Ward. Picked that thing up, put it back together. The only thing wrong with it, I couldn't time it. I didn't know that you had to time a motor to make it run. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And of course, I knew a man down the road. Possibly might would help me with this deal. This ain't I done got my butt to work. And he helped me. He timed it for me. Run like a standing steam.
Mm-hmm. Your first job.
Yeah.
So your reputation was made.
I had a reputation.
But your daddy couldn't take back that.
He told my brother. He
fair
said,
enough.
Yeah, you're done right out. That's what you've done right and done. Can't get them out of the box. Ain't that something?
No, what's that?
These tiles swell so tight, I can't get them out of the box.
Not that bad.
That's right.
I
better get that
other
box out. That
burns.
I only needed one to finish this course, but I'll take these two in here. And
cow and horses.
You don't call them horses.
Horses.
You call them horses. That must be the 10-inch gully jumper in you.
Horses. No, I say horses, really. I'm sorry to say.
Say, in other words, you say it like, AJ. Horses ass. Nephew of mine, his little boy come running up to him. Another one of his uncles has been out there. Barn where these asses were. There were about three or four asses out there where we was at.
Yeah.
Up here out from the arch of the barbecue. Are you going to cook and eat, or are we going to, what, we ain't working today? Huh?
Well, it's getting about that time. I didn't want to be late.
Oh, you didn't want to be late.
I didn't want to hold up anybody.
Anyway, his daddy was sitting there talking to me. He come running up there. He says, Steve, and the boy was just a pant, you know, carrying up. And he says, Steve, what's the world wrong? Daddy, he says, there's a jumping horse down yonder, jumping horse. And, Howard, his daddy, said, what are you talking about? He said, and this boy not about 3 1/2, about 3. He got jumping up and down, stomping, had on a little pair of western boots and dungarees, little fella. Says, Daddy, he says, there's a jumping horse down yonder, jumping horse. And I never could figure what he's talking about. How about a jacket?
Yeah.
Probably the jumping horse.
Yeah. He didn't do that.
He like you are pronouncing horse. He don't know too much about it.
Yeah.
Now you using the right pronunciation, I'm not. Horse is spelled H-O-S-S.
Yeah. Horse. That's what we used to call people, old Hoss Malone and somebody like that. Now, why did we call them Hoss?
That was because they was a Hoss of eight. What man you talking about, he was no eight?
No.
No, not so.
No, he wasn't a Hoss of eight. Old Hoss Malone. That seemed like that was a nice term.
Well, you were commenting.
Well, at least it was to me. Now, it may not have been to the other people.
You call it quits now. You gotta eat on it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got 10 more minutes to work yet.
Yeah.
Well, you shouldn't be eating now.
Time to get the bucket, that'll be about 10 minutes.
Oh. You shouldn't be eating.
I want to see what you got here. It looks mighty light to me.
Golly,
Willie.
You got
a
tater can.
You haven't got any taters, is it? Not that lightweight stuff.
Yeah, eggs nicked on tater. You mean we gonna eat chow now?
You don't raise. Oh, I haven't got two.
I quit then. You go eat it. I can't understand why you eat this hour.
I'm tired watching you work.
He was out last night.
Willie's gone a few minutes. He washes his hands. And then we sit down for lunch.
He says, what is that you eating, that curds?
No, it's goo.
Goo?
Vegetable. I put it on the blender. I haven't had teeth since World War II. I lived on water buffalo and lost my teeth. So I just used that blender over there.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you don't eat meat?
That is, you know, tender, but I can't chew vegetables.
You got false teeth? I didn't know that. They don't look like no false teeth.
Well, I don't open my mouth quite as easily.
Look at that.
Golly.
Look at that.
My Willie. That.
Again.
You won't be able to eat this at work this evening if you eat all that.
I'm going to hide it. What you going to eat, I will. I thought she put me a barbecue in here, and I don't see no barbecue.
Can you tell by looking?
Oh, yeah. This is old, just old plain begonia. You know begonia?
Yeah. I like it.
You like begonia?
Mm-hmm. But I tell you, there's a lot of difference in it.
Oh, yeah. This is not. I can't eat begonia.
Some places you get it is not quite, it don't have the taste as it does at other places.
That's right. And you know the reason? One of it's meat, and the other's got a lot of seal and stuff in it.
You know, they advertise this dog food like that.
Mm-hmm.
They say when you buy this, you get meat and it's not seal.
Mm-hmm. Would you like a drink of tea?
Mm-hmm. I don't drink tea.
You don't?
Oh, you got tea?
Yes, sir.
Cold tea?
Yes, sir. Iced tea.
Some people like it hot.
Them's limeys. That's something that I love. I've eaten many a pound of it.
Yeah.
But it don't like me.
You eat too much?
I don't know, it just makes me sick. That peanut butter?
You can't eat it in moderation. So you just don't eat it?
My wife won't buy it for me.
Really?
Anything that bothers me, she won't let me have. She won't buy it for me.
I didn't get that cow state. That time, who was that out there who jumped you? That lady who jumped you, how'd you like her do you that way?
Oh, she didn't think it was right to pull that calf, ride that cow.
Who was that?
My sister-in-law.
Is she the one who was down to visit you?
Oh, no. They live right next door to us, don't they? She thought it was cruel.
Now, that was the big, big brother?
She thought it was real, it was bad, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
She said every youngin' she'd ever had, she didn't. The doctor didn't snatch it out of her like that.
Yeah.
I said, you didn't know because you put to sleep. I said, you didn't know what that doctor was doing.
Was the cow up when you was putting all them things, plasters to it?
She was down, couldn't help herself. That's the reason I was doing it.
And you put a sponge of hot water on her?
Mm-hmm. Limber her up.
I don't quite have that in my mind.
That makes her. That relaxes her.
What was you in the Army? You was a captain or something? Company commander? Or?
Yeah. I was in intelligence.
In England?
Of all things.
In England? Where you at? In Germany? Europe? South Sea?
Neither. I was in CBI. I was in the back part of China.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, sir. Over by the old Mekong River and that thing that goes up there. We flew the hump and got to in that back province there for Kunming in what province is that?
Nowhere.
Hancock province, that's not right. Anyhow, we got to Kunming and that was the headquarters of the 14th Air Force. And we stayed a while there until they found out where they wanted to send us, and then they shipped us out, just scattered us all about the little landing strips. And that's where I spent all of my time, at that them little landing strips. I went from one to another. I was in the Air Corps.
What was you looking for?
Oh, paperwork. A lot of it, security.
What about this boy up Jackson who killed himself Thursday? You read that?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him out, no way.
Oh, have you?
Mm-hmm. A good friend of mine, it's her nephew, her sister's boy, yeah. Out there at home.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's getting right close to home, isn't it?
You know what's wrong with him? He was a... he was a secret agent. Government.
No.
No. According to what they're telling me, he just got full up, so he just committed suicide.
Oh.
Of course, he volunteered for this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Taking the course in it.
Yeah.
And he'd been in Vietnam for 4, 5, 6 months,
yeah.
Doing special work down there.
Yeah.
And he had this little bomb that swallowed, you know, in case he get caught. He instructed that they must destroy themselves, you know. And there's only a few of these that does this kind of work.
Oh.
And that's what he done.
So he took the bomb.
I don't know whether he took the bomb, but he killed himself.
Yeah.
He committed suicide up in Jackson. They sent him home. That's where you let your job get the upper hand at.
Yeah.
Of course, now this Andy boy up here, I want you to eat one of these.
Right.
This Andy boy up here, he killed himself on the 16th. You know, here the other day, back in February, that boy committed suicide, tied himself in his car and set gas, on, run down 16th Avenue, Southeast 16th Avenue, down in Sin City. He'd taken too many pills or something, hadn't he? He'd been taking dope, hallucinogenic, how you pronounce that?
I don't know.
In other words,
hallucination.
Yeah, he does some of that stuff. He'd been taking this dope that makes you think you're something that you're not.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say. Since I had my lip operated on, I can't have talk. But it's a hallucinogenic something pill he'd been taking, and one backfired on him.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you get them?
Well, I get mine.
I've seen them crack up. I used to see them crack up over there. I saw them. We were stationed on the way over there. We stopped at Tunis, and that Italian campaign was over. And they had a whole camp of men who'd cracked up. A whole camp of them. I don't know, there's thousands of them, really. Thousands of them. Several thousand of them. Several thousand of them who'd cracked up.
I've seen several.
And you can't tell by looking at them, but you can tell if you talk to them.
Mm-hmm. I've seen several commit suicide. Two. I actually seen two. Boy jumped out, jumped in one of the ravines in France.
Yeah.
Off a trestle. Yeah. It dove in. He went, jumped straight up in there and then jackknifed right down like he's going to dive, do a swan dive into a swimming pool.
Really?
Went about 100 feet right down into a ravine, down into a rock pile, just spattered down there.
You saw that?
Mm-hmm. What do you reckon he had on his mind when he was going down? It taken him a little while to get down there.
Why, yes.
Sure did.
Yes. That seemed like a long time, didn't it?
Why, sure. You know, it take. They tell me that when you dream, you do it in the flash.
Yeah.
Well, your mind can, unless his mind just blanked out when he jumped out, when he jumped over in there.
Yeah.
If he blanked out, why, then he didn't think of nothing. But if your mind's working, you can generate a lot of thought.
Yeah.
And just that quick.
Just that quick.
Yes. You can generate a lot of thought.
You've had narrow escapes yourself where you had to think that.
Well,
that's what people do who ride horses and things like that. See, I don't do that. I never did have narrow escapes. I always sort of sat on the fence. But I hear these horse people talk about it all the time.
No, I was it, and combat outfit. And I was 87th Infantry, 346. 87th Division, 346th Infantry.
Yeah. But they didn't keep at it long.
I put in about 6 months on the front.
Yeah.
Which is about average.
Yeah.
That's about average, without getting killed. I've been shot at close to the head of that trailer out there. But it didn't get hit.
Just didn't get hit. It didn't spatter you. It didn't spray you.
Yeah, but the thing about it was, it killed them on both sides of me, and I didn't get scratched. If somebody off to my right, yeah.
That's fine.
Off to my right, he shot and killed this man, stopped him.
You know,
I didn't know about this until after it was over with.
Yeah.
I knew I was being shot at.
Yeah.
But then I was shooting it this direction here, and this joker, he hops out of the bushes over here, see? And this boy over here, to my right back, like he shot him. Stopped him from killing me. He done raked them all around me.
Oh.
But this don't happen, but you have this experience maybe once or twice, and then you ain't that lucky all the time.
No, you don't. You don't just keep playing the catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew these fellas in the airship, and they wouldn't fly home.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
They played their chances long enough, they said they just gonna walk home.
Yeah, they'd catch a ship, boat, come home.
Yeah.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. It sounds curious, don't it?
Yeah, but you know, I can understand it.
Yeah.
I really can. I can understand. Would you like to have a pizza? Would you like to have a bite of my peaches?
You eating peaches now?
Yes, sir.
I left one out for your dad.
Peach?
Mm-hmm.
Where's peach?
Oh,
man,
that's good.
Thank you. I'll eat these here because these are spoiled from me. These seeds were taken out of a can.
Yeah, these I got from A&P.
Oh, them. Well, I don't know what these are. These might have been peed on. Oh, a boat top. These might have been peed on.
Yeah.
I don't know it.
Let me tell you, William. I never talked about that. That honor thing. I don't know. My mind just never plays on that. Since I've been in Florida, I've been doing something else. But I have never been off to one of them, you know, like going down to the big brush. What do you call it? Big swamp. Big, you know, going down here and hunting for a week.
Oh, are you talking about the Gulf Hammock or Ocala National Forest?
I never have done that.
How come?
I think, now depending on who you go with, but now like your daddy, you see, where you...
You ain't gonna eat that cookie?
No.
Huh?
No.
I'm gonna eat one of yours then.
I wish you would. They're good. That's them Waverly thing.
Yeah.
Yep, so. You might find something there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, now let me tell you, I don't know people around here. You know that? I don't know people around here to go off anywhere with. But up that North 40, I had neighbors. And them fellas, I would love to go off, you know, to the Gulf Hammock, someplace mm-hmm. like that. Now, like your daddy, when he was working with all them fellas out there, and they sort of wind up getting into stuff, now that'd been first rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been good company, and you never done that.
Oh, we've done a little bit, but not working. I mean, you know, we go off on hunting trips, but we wouldn't be working together.
And say a week?
3 or 4 days a week, not more than a week.
Oh, you have? Your neighbors out there?
Brothers and brother-in-laws and friends.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you, we take that old ton and a half cattle truck, spread this tarpaulin, had this big old army tarpaulin.
Yeah.
And we spread it over that body, that cattle body. And see that thing asleep. 10 or 12 people.
Oh yes.
The way you do, you see, the first he lays down, he puts his head to the outside of the body, and the next one lays down, he puts his head to the outside of the body.
Yeah.
And you can lay a lot of people in there that way, see.
Oh.
In an 8-foot truck.
Yeah.
8-foot wide bed.
Yeah.
See, you lay crossways.
Yeah.
And if you want to, if you got a special place in there where you've been sleeping and you want to get to it, you just walk over their feet, walk right down the middle, see, and step in around the feet as you go down.
Yeah. What do you have? A little tent to keep you, do you cooking in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have something to keep out of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're a drinker.
I take on a little. Once
you
in a while.
All the time. You drinking water, and now you're drinking tea.
Right. What we do, this old tarpaulin was so big that we take it and run off out there and tie it to a tree. We'd try to park the truck where we tie a tree. See, it was about, that tarpaulin was 100 by 100, I believe. One of them big old army tarpaulins. It covered the whole truck and everything.
Oh, I never saw one then.
It covered the whole thing. We just tie it off to the tree out here. And if it didn't have no tree, we'd take it and stop it. Lean to. Just bring it out from that body, see. Well, that 6-foot body, it'd be about 12 foot off the ground up here, and you could just stop it off out here. And you'd have, all in here, you'd have 12, 14 foot head space.
Yeah.
Makes a wonderful camping deal. You just cover the whole darn truck up, everything. So you drive your truck up there with the tarpaulin, and then you start undoing your tarpaulin up on top of your truck. And then when you get, like I say, we try to stop it, park the truck where we can tie off the trees, tie the tarpaulin.
Yeah.
Man, it makes a wonderful camping. You got the whole thing dry all under there, you know, if it floods, which we had it to rain. I never will forget, I had a 3/4 ton Chevrolet pickup with a state body on it, cattle body. And I used to carry 2 or 3 boats in that thing, stacked one on top of the other. And by Joe, we got in this flood, and we just got our camp fixed up, and hadn't taken boats out of the truck, and it rained so hard it filled up the top boat in that truck. That's how hard it rained out in the hammock. Of course, now a lot of that water run off a tree in there, because the tree was parked under a tree. And undoubtedly there was a limb that was funneling a lot of that water into that boat. But I mean to say, now it rained. That's a pretty good sized wood boat. And it like to bust the tires on my old truck before we could get all the water bailed out of them boats and get them off of there.
Oh,
man, that truck was just bogging down in its own shadow.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. But that's a wonderful.
Now, that tarpaulin, on the tarpaulin, somebody chiseled it.
Nope.
Didn't buy it.
Mm-hmm. Old boy went up there. We bought this church building we got from up there. Camp Lanning.
I come again.
This church building we got is a Catholic chapel in Camp Lanning.
That you bought from?
Bought it from the government. We give them $1,000 for it.
And they hauled it?
No, sir. We hauled it. We throw it down. In other words, we could get it for $900 if we move it out in a certain length of time and clean the lot and burn all the scrap trash and level the ground off. They give us $100 and we moved it off in the length of time and got it for $900, clean the lot up and burn the trash, you know, what we didn't want. Up at Camp Lanning. Well, this boy had his truck and he was hauling a lot of that stuff, and and I didn't know nothing about it. I was up there a lot, tearing down that building, taking out the trim and the seats and things. We finally had to get an outfit out of Jacksonville to take it down. Trying to find out that thing was the way it was built, we just couldn't handle it. It didn't have the machinery, equipment, taking a crane to take those trusses down. Well, anyway, he went over there to this place and bought this thing. They were selling them there in Camp Lanning. They had a big one of them old buildings moved out there next to the Jacksonville Road and had a bunch of old stuff in there selling it, just dirt cheap, just moving it, you know, getting it out of the way. Now, this was in 48,
yeah.
After they closed up, most of Camp Lanning was closed up. And they was moving them out.
Yeah.
Eat one of these. No, I'm going to eat one of these, and you eat one. Eat one of these, because you see, I can't eat both of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I want you to eat one. I just eat two or three of yours, four. But anyway, he bought this thing there. And I didn't know it, that you could buy that kind. You know, I didn't know you could buy it. He went in and bought it while we was up there moving that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I've always wanted and never have had is a respectable tarpaulin.
I did too, and I ain't got one.
And now they cost so much, you just can't buy them over time.
Was that your board of deacons that went over there and helped you move it?
I doubt there's many deacons in. Really.
Well, there's your neighbors there in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a Methodist with you.
Mm-hmm. This old boy used to be a Methodist. One that helped us.
See that beautiful thing there?
Let me get the gun and shoot him. He'll eat up more feed.
I love him. I'd feed him.
What is it? That old thrusher?
Yes, sir.
They're mean birds, ain't they?
Why did you kill that coon? I'm going to get me some pet skunks. They are just like kittens.
Yeah, they are. I know one. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. And then what?
Well, you had one over there and you put your dog on it.
I killed him. I shot him twice with a rifle.
Well, I know. But it was the dog's fault.
But dog, possum, coon, polecat shouldn't have been in my hay barn.
Looks to me like, Willie, that was the proper place for him. Now, let me tell you. Suppose you were going out here somewhere, not coming in my house, but somewhere out here on the premises. You'd pick out that hay barn out there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an animal's got sense, too.
Yeah, but he didn't have no business going in the hay barn.
He didn't bother a thing in there. Until your dog got
there. He still smell that place up. Hey, great.
Well, now, what was you doing in there that you had to disrupt him?
I was having to get the hay out.
Well, he didn't bother you.
Yeah, but, oh man, them things are stinking. Ooh, great day. And the whole place is mullygugged up there. Great, it stinks. I didn't think them cows were going to eat that hay. But you know what they done?
What?
I carried it out there and throwed it out to them. And they butt it, butt it, butt it, butt it. Trying to butt that scent off of it, I guess. But you know, they finally eat it. They finally eat it. But they butt that hay. I ain't kidding you, they did. I was telling my brother-in-law about last night. He's a cattleman. He works, did run, well, he's still running that Creighton, Canapa Hall Ranch. Of course, Whitehurst brothers have got it leased. And I was telling him about it Saturday afternoon. And I said, you reckon some cows will eat that hay? What are you drinking, that vinegar?
Breakfast coffee.
You drink it that kind of way?
Yeah.
No,
I don't drink much at meal. I just take it along.
No wonder you look so bad.
We're going. Well, I want to hear about this.
Anyway, he told me, he said, you know, he said, this was before, and I seen him last night, and I told him about what they'd done. He said, I told you they'd do that. He said, he has them in there. They have all 10, 12 of those big sheds, several thousand bales of hay.
Yeah.
Great big old sheds, you know.
Yeah.
And he says, pump skunks bad to bed up in there, you know. And so they get them in there, they skunk the hay all up. And he said, the cows will eat it. So they'll butt it around and paw on it and snort, but they'll finally eat it. And sure enough, that's what they done.
Yeah.
The darn cow just run off and butt it, you know, and shake the head and snort, but they finally eat it.
Well, let me tell you, brother. You didn't sick the dog on that
one. Yeah, I did too. I wanted to get him out of there.
I thought you said you didn't want the dog to get in the
skunk. No, man.
Tell me,
that dog running there and got that skunk, me hollering at him.
Hollering at him to get the skunk?
No, to get back, because I knew he was going to skunk that dog. And the dog was so sick he couldn't walk. Oh, man, he was sick.
Well, now that's it.
Yeah,
you were trying to get the dog not to get the
dog. Yeah, because I knew what happened. That darn skunk would skunk me. And I was running, running just as hard as I could go backwards, trying to get out of the hay shed, see. And here the dog come running out there yelping with the skunk hung on to his jaw here.
No, I forgot that.
Yeah, the skunk was holding on to him here, biting him, and the dog was running me, wanting me to beat the skunk off of him, see. And here I'm going across the woods just a shagging butt, you know, and the dog was following me, dragging that skunk. Hollering for me to get the skunk off of him.
Well, now that happened out there at your house.
Saturday afternoon, about 5:00. And here I'm running, trying to get away from that skunk, and that dog dragging him right behind me. But I thought that dog, see the dog going, yip, 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 yip. I said, that darn skunk's got a hold of that dog. And
you didn't see him, you just knew
it. I looked back and seen him, yeah, dragging him. Well, the skunk turned the dog loose. And as soon as the skunk turned him loose, the dog was mad then, for sure. But the skunk hadn't blowed yet.
Yeah. And it was a decent skunk.
I don't know about it. But here, the skunk run up to the door. The door was about that high off the ground. And the skunk was going to go back into the hay shed. And that dog didn't want that skunk in his hay shed. So he went flying up there and he caught the skunk just as the skunk got about halfway under the door. Caught the skunk right in the rump. And gave him a half twist, you know, and jerked him out from under that. And when he did, that skunk got mad. Crazy. And, of course, he just spewed the dog right in the face.
Yeah.
And, so, of course, the dog turned the skunk loose. And the skunk went back in the shed.
Yeah.
And what I got two double doors. And one of them, I keep it stationary unless I'm loading hay in. Loading hay out. Bailing it out to the cows, I just open up one side, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one side stationary. And the skunk went under that side, although this portion over here, 6 foot or better, was 7 foot, I guess it is. The door was wide open, but anyway, skunk got away from the dog, and he went in there. Yeah, they cut. Dog went in there, got mad, showing up when he skunked him. He went in there and went howling and barreling around in there. The dog started yucking again, and I grabbed me a fence pole and go run up that. Beat that skunk off my dog. And lo and behold, when I got up there and looked in, that was just plum yeller with that mist, musk.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know it did that.
That old musk was in there so thick, you know.
Yeah.
That skunk hadn't let off nothing in years. Undoubtedly, it was rank. It just turned my dog brown. All over his head was plum brown. I don't know whether that musk or stain hair to that color, or whether that's the color of the musk or what.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The old head was just plum. Looked like a old orangey brown color. Nothing. But anyway,
well, how did you get in there?
How did he get in?
How did you get in there?
Oh, I had to open the door and go in. You mean in the beginning? Yes.
No, at the end there, after you had to go, you went in there and shot the skunk.
Oh, I stood off out there, and he was cornered up there next to a pad. You know, the dog had cornered him up there.
Again?
They kind of, no, by this time I run to the house and got the rifle and come back. The dog was out there rolling in a puking and carrying on. He was done so sick he couldn't walk. He just walking, staggering, you know, out across the woods out there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And I went and peeped around the corner, and that skunk was, they'll play dead kind of like a possum, too, you know. They'll kind of play dead. And I shot him.
Well, why didn't he get under something?
I didn't want him to.
Why didn't he?
I don't know, but he stayed out in the open where I could plug him. I poured it into him. I shot him twice then. He finally gave up the ghost, and I dug a hole and buried that boy.
Didn't you hate to do that?
Oh, man, no, man. No. Them things will ruin you.
They'll keep the rodents out.
They'll ruin your crops.
A skunk?
Yes, sir.
That gonna bother your crop, will it?
Yes, sir, man. They'll ruin your peanuts and such as that.
I never had any peanuts.
They will eat them up. They'll get started on a patch, and they won't give up. They'll bring in every skunk in 10 miles. But
now that's the possum, coons.
Coons will too, but a skunk's bad peanuts.
I never heard that, nor a skunk.
I had a coon story. Oh yeah. There's an old boy named Coon Young, you know him?
How do you feel, please?
There's a fair field.
Oh, no, I don't know anybody out there.
His name's Coon Young. And I've been knowing him all my life. And he says, he goes, I seen the coon a lot of times. He's in the log business. He buys timber. In fact, business is all he ever done. His daddy did it before him. But anyway, he goes out. And he worked a lot, excuse me. And he found this little coon, and he brought him in, you know, and petted him, and raised him as a pet coon. So at this time, he was living right in Fairfield, eh? And that old coon, he got out to be a great big old bull coon. Hey, he was a big coon. And this old lady, he lived right up on Front Street, there, and then there was a house right behind his house. This old lady's name was, can't remember what that old lady's name was, but she was almost an invalid. At times she would be, you know, so up where she couldn't get around. I know it just as good as I do myself, but I can't think of anything. Anyway.
Fairfield.
That Fairfield. She had been having trouble getting around for some while there. Had been in bed. And, so the coon, had got out of his house, and he a lot of times he'd just roam up and down the street there, you know. And he'd had him for a long time. By this time, he'd had him a long time. And the old coon, though, he was running around hunting something to eat. He was bad for thieving. He'd thieve, you know, go in people's houses, he'd find a door open, no screen in it. He'd sneak in there, you know, and thieve on them. And so he went into this old lady's house, and the screen door had a hole in it, or it didn't have a screen one, and the door was open, and the coon went in there. And she was in the bathroom trying to have a bowel movement.
Now, this is true?
This is the truth, boy. According to everybody in Fairfield, he was pretty well upset about Coon's Coon. But anyway, Coon's Coon trampled all through the house and couldn't find nothing. He went all around. And so finally, he went down the hallway there and he seen the bathroom. So he turned to the left, went in there, you know. And the old lady was sitting on the hopper there, and she seen the coon and screamed at the hopper. Whee! 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 And of course, people living right next door to her, you know, heard her screaming, knew she was, you know, thought she had fell. And they come running over there, and she had shit all over the commode. She jumped up and tried to get up on top of the commode. And the old man, the man's wife was telling me, said his wife went in there and said she had one foot inside the commode and the other on the floor, standing up there. They'd had trouble getting their bowels to move, you know, for 2 or 3 days. And said she had just messed all over the whole bathroom. Yeah. It's running down her leg. Great. And he said it was a God's truth. Well, then, you see, the good citizens, they decided that they ought to sue Coon, you know, for letting his coon run loose. And it could have made the woman have a heart attack. Well, broke a leg or a hip, arm or something.
Yeah.
And this ain't no joke. They got pretty hard on him, and they told him, some of the city fathers, they said, now you're going to have to pin that coon up, or either you're going to be held liable for whatever damage that coon's done caused damage in by tearing up people's screen windows, screen doors, and going in into the pantries and breaking into the meat and everything, you know, the groceries, getting into the groceries. And says,
has it?
Oh, yes, it had broke into several houses and tore up people's groceries, you know. So, I told Coon, I said, shoot, I think they ought to build a monument to him in honor of the old Coon, you know, because the old lady hadn't had a crap, decent crap, in 2 months, so they claimed, and had been, the neighbors had been over there and had given her animals, and the first one thing or another, and couldn't get a bowels to move. You know how people get where they just don't move at all. But when that coon coming, that scared the crap out of her. That coon scared her so bad until I bet you the reason she hadn't crap is because she got her mind on it so hard that she wouldn't relax.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Like that cow.
That's right. And that coon scared her so bad she forgot her butt.
And relaxed.
And relaxed and it pulled out. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I said that. I said it then. I told Coon, I said, it's a shame they ought to build a monument in honor of your coon. Because I said, if your coon hadn't went in that house and scared that old woman, she liable to die from a barrel loss.
Why you call it a hopper?
Right.
Hopper.
That's what they used to call them.
Hopper?
Hopper.
What's the next one?
Well, a man by the name of Hopper invented the first one.
Oh!
That's right. They were originally first called in the old country hoppers.
I didn't realize.
Yes, sir. In the old country, they was called hoppers. Because a man by the name of Hopper built the first inside toilet commode.
Yeah.
A commode, you know, is accommodation.
Oh.
That's accommodation.
Oh.
You know. But the original first commodes were called hoppers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hopper invented it.
They just didn't have much sense of humor down there at Fairfield. You know people have them. Let me tell you, I was living out there in Gosfield.
Where is that at?
When we first come into town.
Oh, you mean up at Gaines?
Yes. And it was out there right next to the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And we rented a house from the people there he retired and went to Burma. And at that time, the owls were just plentiful down there. They'd come down in there. I've got a few owls out here, but they was plentiful there. And I love to hear them.
I shoot them.
And one day,
you don't shoot owls?
Oh, no.
Man, I shoot them things. You can kill them easy. They're the easiest thing to kill. You take a flashlight at night and you hear him hollering and go shine it around and shine his eyes and boom, down he comes.
Yeah.
They easy to kill.
Well.
One night, brother-in-law, we was hunting rabbits. Rabbits eating our snap beans up. You want to finish your story?
No, I'd rather hear yours.
No.
I know, man.
There you go. This ain't no tale. We was hunting rabbits going across the bean field. And you know, rabbits, when the beans first come up and they're in the crook, they're other than sprouts. You know, when a bean first comes up, it's actually just a sprout.
Yeah.
Well, they love to cut them things. And if they touch that thing or clip it, one little scratch on it will deform that bush. You know, it'll come up, but it'll be deformed. It won't do like it should. And so this, we was walking along, and old Johnny was doing like this. He had a headlight on, you know. And this old, doing like that, and this old owl that got the chasing this beam of light.
Oh yeah.
And he seen it real dark at night, real dark. And we was going right, it was down in a hammock. And the trees were real thick, old hammock trees, you know, like elm, black gum, sweet gum, oak, such as that, you know. Real thick. And we was off about like near the back end of your car, you know, from the woods, walking over the in the field, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He kept doing like that, and he said, you know, said, I seen something. And that darned old hoot owl, you know, flew down in that beam of light, and that's what he'd see. He'd do like that, you know, shining that light up in there.
Yeah.
And that old owl.
Loll his head around.
Yeah, that owl would fly down out of them trees. And he'd fly down and try to catch that beam of light. Or either he seen insects flying in that beam of light, see.
Yeah.
Something would attract him. And that Jackie.
He kept it doing it. Keep it up.
Yeah, he kept doing that. And so that boy thought he had a 12 gauge shotgun held up like that. And he done like that and pulled the trigger and killed that darn owl.
Mm-hmm.
Stung dead. Didn't see him. He just put. When he did like that, he flashed that light and made that beam rock backwards and forth in there. No light. Owl dove and he shot into the beam. You know, I just shot up there and the owl dove right into them shot.
That was
killed him dead. Now that's, you can put that in, believe it or not.
Yeah.
That's true.
Was you there?
Oh yeah, I was right there beside.
Well, you're not a hunter, are you?
Oh yes, sir.
You done a lot of hunting?
Yes, sir. I'm not a big game hunter now.
Owls?
No. I don't hunt owls. I've killed a lot of owls. Owls are rough on chickens. And they'll eat up quail. They're bad for quail. Ooh, man.
Well, that's what they live on.
I know, but we can't afford to let them eat up a quail.
Why?
Because quails, you don't eat owls. You can eat quails, but you can't eat owls.
I just assumed owls would eat them as you.
Oh, no. Man. No, man. One of these days, I'm going to come over here and kill us a mess. And then you'll know what I'm talking about.
A quail?
Mm-hmm. I said that one time, and you said no. You didn't.
What did I say? I cut you off. What was that?
Yeah, you kind of run rough there. The first time I was ever over here, there's a big covey quail out there on that fence rope.
Yeah.
I was doing some wiring out at that shed, I believe. I heard them out there chirping.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're beautiful. But then on the other hand, you got to kill them out so they'll keep multiplying. And I said something about coming over here, and you said, no, you ain't either. Right, quick, right. Kind of cutting it short.
No, I didn't say that. I said I'd rather they live so I could see them.
No, at first, then you come back and said later, you know, you'd rather look at them than to eat them.
No, I didn't.
You never eat any?
Quail?
Yeah.
Well, good Lord, you don't eat your grandmother or anything. Look out, Willie. You know, you probably have been out in these old airboats, these old frog boats.
Never have.
They just give me the willies. I am allergic to them.
I never have.
They go out there.
I doubt I ever will. I'm scared. I know of two accidents.
It's not against your principles, it's you're just scared.
I'm scared.
What's the accident you hear?
My oldest daughter, Barbara, one who works at the university, she had this girlfriend of hers. Excuse me. This girlfriend of hers was husband owns one of those airboats.
Yeah.
And they went down to, and now mind you, the boat's big enough to care for. And this daughter of mine and her husband was supposed to went with them on a trip down on the coast.
Yeah.
They went down there and was going to go they run that thing back in these pockets out there in the salt water, you know, where, you know, on the shores, they've got inlets, you know, that runs up in that. There's nobody fishes. You can't get in that to it.
Yeah.
Only by airboat, see. But now it's getting to be a popular thing down there. People carrying the airboats down there, and they use them, and they go all up in there in the airboats, see, and get those fish when they get pinned in those holes and washouts and things. Well, they went. My daughter and her husband were supposed to went with them that day, but they didn't go. And I tell you, that's the reason I believe, you know, the Lord does work in mysterious ways. He causes things to happen to keep people from getting hurt, and then he causes things to happen to make people get hurt, to make them remember that there is an almighty God, somebody that is controllable, you know. I mean, can control these things. Well, anyway, something come up. Now, he's a fireman. He works up at Gainesville. He's on the fire department.
Yeah.
At number one station on South Main. Well, anyway, they didn't go. And that night, they got a call that this girl wasn't expected to live. And of course, she went rushing to the hospital to see what story was. Kind of find out they had, the thing got hung up. And the boy had juggled it, trying to get it loose, you know. And finally, with the motor running, and finally it come loose. And when it did, he had the rudder, or whatever you call it, turned at an angle. It threw her out. And in throwing her out, the propeller caught her and chopped her up. And it cut both of her legs off, just above her knees. And cut one hand off, I believe, or arm, or hand, and several fingers. Off the other hand. She grabbed that propeller after it done knocked her legs off. And of course she was in the water there, and the darn boat had gone berserk. So the boy finally got things calmed down and fished her out the water. And drug her up on this airboat and by himself worked out of this all the. They had went from one little patch to the other, one little patch to the other, one little patch to the other, jumping, you know, running over this saltwater grass. Sometimes, you know, you jump that thing over several yards, you know, it's dry land. Ain't nothing there, just that old sawgrass. And he had to get that thing back. And she was bleeding to death. This just happened last year. And he taking that old saltwater mud, that old scum that goes around on in them flats, and daubed all over the nubs of her legs and her fingers and her hands and all over where she was cut. He found out that mud would decrease the blood from running, you know, stop her health. And he kept piling that mud on her until he kept her from bleeding so bad. And finally, wasn't nobody around where he had put in, and everybody had gone. Now where they put them air sleds in, I don't know, but it's this brother of mine, he goes to the boy Emma Robinson up there. And I don't know whether you know them Robinsons and Gainesville or not, but anyway, my brother and this boy runs a store, Emma Robinson, one of the Robinson markets. They're good friends, and he says it's in a desolate strip of the coast over there where these boys put in airboats. They don't put them in up where they put in the other boats. Put in undoubtedly where he talks, there ain't nobody around hardly, other than the people that do run airboats. And when he got to where the people load the airboats, everybody's gone except his car was the only one sitting there. Well, he bundled her up, put her in the car, and got in it and left everything he had just laying there. And when he got to Oil Creek, he done burned the motor out of his car, done froze it up. And so some fella that had just bought a brand new something, I don't really know what it was, when he pulled up the station in Oil Creek there, right, you know, it's just a crossroad. This man pulled up there and he had this new car, just bought it. And so this boy told this man what the trouble was, and and his car had froze up, wouldn't go any further. In fact, Dennis, it would have went further, but when he slowed down for that intersection, he couldn't get it to go, see, it just stopped. Well, they put her in this new car, and like I said, I don't know now what kind it was. They got her to the medical center, and when they cut that car off, they had to get a wrecker to come get it out of the emergency drive at Shan's teaching hospital. It done burned it up, brand new car. But that's several other accidents has happened with them darn things. Just caused me to be leery of.
Boy, it's dangerous all the time.
Well, another thing, I don't know whether they're harmful to game or wildlife or not. I really don't know. Other than that they have no privacy.
J.R. never uses them. He just goes out fishing in a boat.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Wildlife don't have no privacy from them.
No, absolutely not. Nobody got privacy from them.
Uh-uh. They'll skim right on in where humans never been.
Yeah.
You take on Orange Lake here. There's a lot of places humans never been, but they've been before they had the air sled. Now since the air sled come in view, they can go anywhere and go places where man never been, and that used to be the wildlife habitat, you know. That's where these things raised, the hatchery for the various fowl and fish. It just burned me up whenever they started running them things back in there. Well, we used to have good luck. It was hard getting in there, and it did nothing. Hard to bother our fishing hole. But this didn't bother me so bad as the fact that when they started running airboats and that, they would just rob these here holes and these bonnet patches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even where we couldn't get to, you know. And even places where we were fishing, where we'd pole in. And very few people would pole a boat from here to the road out, John.
Yeah.
To that greater road, there were very few. And hardly anybody.
They just won't do it.
They won't do it. Hardly anybody would pole one from here to that paved road out down there. And we used to do that. We used to pole just about that far. And to get to this body of water to fish. Well, when they come along with that airboat, you need a pole to these places because they done fished them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't hurt them as far as us poling in there and fishing. We couldn't pole in that often. Now, they could go in there every day with the air sled, see.
Mm-hmm.
They could go out and in as often as they want to, because they could go in. What it'd take us an hour to pull from here down yonder, they could do it in 5 minutes. A minute. And it'd take me and my brother an hour to pull that. But you take ducks, and I think this has a lot to do with the duck population. Around here on the north end, there's places where ducks used to roost, you know, they used to hibernate in there and raise. But they can't do it no more because them old air sleds can go up in there, see?
Yeah.
They run them old air sleds right on up in
there. Let me tell you something, will you? You know, Mr. Cronkite used to be a great, when they'd have those
ads. End of Channel 1 over. The end of Channel 1 over. And we are still at lunch on Tuesday, the 5th of March, 1970.